Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 8 of 4 New Mommies Beta Testing Parenthood. This is the show where we discuss the things that we're blogging about, and the things we're blogging about is new parenthood. So we have with us on the line Jennifer, Alex, and two Natalies, myself included. I am one of the two Natalies. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
So today we wanted to start off with Alex and the things that she is talking about. And this is something that most of us have experienced, but we never talk about because we're too embarrassed. So bravo to Alex for admitting that her little one fell off the bed. Now, someone once told me, your kid's going to fall off the bed. It's going to bum you out like you have no idea. It's going to happen. Just get used to it. And I was like, my kid's not going to. I'm going to watch him like a hawk. And then, of course, he did. And it bummed me out so much. So, Alex, I love how you talk about how you were just so livid. Tell me a little bit about how it happened.
Okay. So I was at my mom's house and it was just a family get together and Reese was on the bed and she's really fast. I mean, she's just a little scooter. And, you know, so I constantly have my hand, you know, within arm's reach. And I kept saying, watch out, she's really fast. I probably said it at least 7 times within like 5 minutes, just because she's so fast. I was going to go to the bathroom. And there were 3 other people around the bed, just kind of watching her. So I get up and I turn around. I'm not kidding. For 1 second, as soon as my feet touched the ground and my back was against her, she was on the floor screaming. I was livid, so pissed off because there were 3 grown-ups. How could 3 grown-ups let this little tiny person fall off the bed? Oh my God.
And it just happens. Like they, you know, they see something beyond their purview and they're like, I want to go there. I want to get there quickly. So really it's, you want to blame someone, but you can't because you can't blame the baby.
Right.
So you said she didn't hit head first, right?
No, she didn't hit head first. Somebody was within arm's reach. They just weren't fast enough. So they grabbed her arm. And so she landed on her butt pretty hard. But I mean, it was better than her landing on her head. So she was crying and I picked her up. And the first thing I wanted to do was yell at everybody in the room for being idiots. But I didn't. I tried to stay calm. You know how they say stay calm. And I just held her and she's crying. You know that pitiful, pathetic little cry where you just feel so helpless and you can't do anything about?
Yes.
Oh, I just held her. And then we walked through the living room to the backyard where Daddy was. And she immediately went to Daddy and just kind of cried in his shoulder. It was so sweet. You know, and she forgot about it a couple minutes later. It's just, you know, I went back and I wanted to yell at my mom and, you know, my niece and brother just to say, hey, guys, what were you thinking? But it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. These things just happen.
Oh yeah, but then you become scary.
They feel guilty enough that,
right? You
know, that's their punishment.
And my brother says, "Wow, she's really fast." I'm like, "Yeah, you think?"
What I've been telling you this whole time.
You know what I think? What goes along with that is for me when this happened to me, I think everyone has this story. The mom guilt. Oh my gosh, I just felt so guilty and so helpless. And my story actually revolved around. We were planning for a trip. Everyone was trying to get everything together. We had a late night flight. So I think sometimes these situations happen whenever, you know, you're rushing around or not really paying as close attention as you'd like or trying to take shortcuts on things. And then, you know, something happens that usually when you're speeding, you get stopped by a cop and it ends up taking 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes to get to your destination anyway. So I, whenever this situation happened to me, I just felt washed over with overwhelmed with guilt. And I actually had to go to the emergency room and we were flying out that night. So I had actually hit my little girl in the head with a present, sadly enough. Because Tom and I were arguing over, we're going to take the presents with us. We have to put them in the suitcase. And I was trying to do it with her in my arm. And it was just a long story of me hitting her in the head and her crying and knowing I hurt her, you know, and not knowing, because you hear about shaking baby syndrome and, you know, their heads are so fragile that I mean, as a new mom within, she was like, what, less than 2 months old, that I had no idea, you know, and I didn't want to get on a plane with her potentially having something wrong with her head. So we had to run over to the emergency room. And of course, they're like, well, you know, x-rays probably best. And I have one person whispering in my ear, like, x-rays are not good at that age. And then another one saying, well, did you want your child getting on a plane with this? You know, so I think all the emotions that go with it, and the technician that I met with who did the lab x-ray, she was so tiny. I was holding this little bitty piece of, you know, the whatever the material they put over your body when you do the x-ray. And we were living on a flight in 3 hours. It was insane. And the guy, he said, you know, I actually, my daughter was swinging and, you know, you're going to have plenty of this over the years. And she fell face forward on the concrete. And it was, you know, it's just, it happens. And, you know, it's part of the part process of the, you know, this experience was my fault. But from what you're saying, I think, Alex, it's, you know, trial and error. They kind of understand, oh, I might not want to do that next time.
Right. But I don't think, no matter whose fault it is, and even if it's nobody's fault, you still feel so, like you said, so guilty. And there's the blame. And then I was thinking about, you know, the first time she gets a splinter. I remember my mom getting splinters out of our finger, or if you get a bee, if you get stung by a bee, there are all these different things that are going to happen, and it's going to hurt just the same. And I'm just wondering if it gets any easier.
Which is exactly how I felt about his cold last week. And I think we should come up with some kind of new saying about, like, this is new mommy paranoia. This is, because by the time, if we had, I mean, I have no plans to have four, but if we had four or whatever, you'd be like, oh God, it's just a cold. It's just a bump. It's just a bee sting, you know? But at this point, we want to shelter them from everything. And when Miles fell off the bed, we had a one bedroom apartment in New York City. Clayton had to do something and he was like, can you make me something? He needed a nap so bad, and I knew that he was just starting to inch away a little bit, but I was like, well, we'll just, you know, put pillows around him, and he was fast asleep, and I checked on him and I closed the door, and then a minute later I hear him bump, this thud that was like someone might as well have punched me in the stomach with a sledgehammer. That's how that thud felt to me. Mm-hmm. And I walk in, and he had a big bump on his forehead for a while. Aww. And so I called the emergency room, and we have a doctor friend, and Clayton, you know, called him, and he was like, oh God, this happens all the time. So he's you know, he was like, please, new mom, check yourself. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you cannot make yourself feel better no matter what. And, you know, and I knew, and the worst part was, I knew I'd have to tell my mother-in-law that weekend because she was coming to see him.
Oh, I didn't tell my mother-in-law.
And I knew that she was, you know, and she tried to not make me feel bad, but I could see in her head that she was going to, you know, to herself say, like, you knew he was moving. You knew he, you know, was going to do this. So you didn't tell your mother-in-law at all, Alex?
No, she actually came, I think, a couple days that following weekend and asked how the weekend at my mom's was. And I just avoided the subject. I actually didn't tell any other family, not just her. I just didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want to be judged. And I also didn't want anyone to think, oh, her family's careless. So I just didn't say anything.
Uh-oh, cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know, often they listen to these, so.
And Jennifer,
I actually had to come home. I left. Well, my mother-in-law is a physician herself. So my husband called her while I was at the emergency room. He had to stay home because he wasn't packed yet. And so I was there alone by myself and with her. It was just so sad because I was at the longest red light ever. Seriously. It was like 3 minutes of her screaming in the back seat, you know, with the car seat turned around. I couldn't do nothing. Luckily, we live within, you know, 3 minutes of the hospital, but that longest period was at the red light. But I came home with her in my arms, and there was my mother-in-law, who I get along really well with. She was, we had dinner with her last night, but I could kind of tell that, you know, it wasn't the best look ever, you know, or like, you know,
I think I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't intentional by any means. I mean, yeah. I think she's had 5 kids. She's been there, you know, they're tougher than we think, like you said, but if I had to go back and do it again, I think I might've just done it the same way because honestly, I couldn't get on a plane with her with not knowing if something was wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, been there.
There's that mother-in-law look with, like, you can see that she's, they're trying not to be judgmental and trying not to make you feel bad, but in the back of their mind, they're like, what are you doing to my grandkid?
Yes. And they handle it the best way they can because, I mean, they bite their tongue, I think, a lot more than most people give them credit for.
Oh, God. And I'm not going to be able to when Miles has has kids and, you know, there's some B-word trying to take care of my grandkids. I'm going to be the same way.
Well, can you guys imagine? I mean, they're so little and we're stressing over cuts and bruises and, well, falling off the bed. I was thinking about it. I don't know how I'm going to be able to see my daughter in tears when she has her first heartbreak, even if it's a little crush. Do you remember in eighth grade or, you know, high school and having a crush and coming home in tears?
Yeah, I'll be taking knees out, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be hard. It's going to be a different kind of pain, I think, because right now they can't talk to us. They can't tell us if they're, you know, hurting. They can cry, but we don't know sometimes what that cry is associated with.
Right.
So I'd be like, I mean, I'm happy for them to tell me, you know, oh, I have a stomach ache, or no, this kid, you know, picked on me at school.
Yeah. Be careful what you ask for, though.
Yeah.
Who knows when that comes. So sometimes ignorance is bliss. Well, let's talk about some more fun things. We talked last week, or the week before last, actually, about how Natalie is the best party thrower ever. How she had the best cheese at her wedding. So I am still bummed that I missed baby Nick's first birthday, but she wrote up a whole post about it. So Natalie, how far in advance did you start planning this?
I think I had the idea for the theme when he was probably like 6 months old.
The Giants won the World Series.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it just seemed like the perfect timing. And, you know, we're huge Giants fans. It just, you know, it just started germinating little by little in my brain. I'd come up with an idea. I had an idea for the invitation, which, you know, I used little just white label circle stickers. And I traced red lines on them to make little baseballs. And, you know, then I had an idea to, first my idea was to rent a cotton candy machine because my dad's a cotton candy fiend. But then we decided that might be a little sticky and messy and it's pretty expensive. So we switched to a popcorn machine, which was still a big hit. And, you know, we just, you know, wanted to do ballpark food and make it kind of fun and easy and just very homey and first birthday party. Because my some of the family had an idea to rent a space and go somewhere else. And I just felt really strongly that I wanted it to be at home. I wanted his first birthday to be family and, you know, a couple of friends and just very intimate at home and very personal. So it was really important to me that we kept it as kind of sweet and fun and homey as possible. And I think we really pulled it off and he had so much fun. I was terrified because he wouldn't nap that morning. And I thought, oh great, you know, he's going to be crying this whole party and then nobody's going to have a good time. And he was just a champ. He, you know, ate a big lunch and then he opened all his presents. And, you know, you can see from the pictures that he had a heck of a time with the cake. So it was... It was a ton of fun. And I think, you know, like Alex said, the party was for us too. It was to, you know, celebrate our first year at accomplishing this really, really, really hard thing. And, you know, the party really capped it all off for us. We were really happy with how it turned out, despite the rain and the cramped quarters.
Natalie, I love how you always have all these small little details that really bring it all together. And it always amazes me. I mean, you have no help at home. This is you and you have your paid work that you actually work at home to bring in an income. And then you have your child you're taking care of, but you have no other help at all. So how far out did you start working on this? And when did you, I mean, how much time did you dedicate, I guess, each day?
You know, I'd seen this in Real Simple ages ago where it was kind of like 2 weeks before the party, you do this. 1 week before the party, you do this. 5 days before the party, you do this. 24 hours before the party, you do this. So I kind of wrote out a list like that for myself where, you know, 2 weeks ahead of time, I started making the banners. And then, you know, a week ahead of time, I made the little fondant cutouts for the cupcakes. And the day before the party, I made the cupcakes. You know, so I think the important part with if you're trying to plan a party that has lots of little details is to really give yourself a good head start and, you know, make sure you're not trying to cram it all in at the last minute because you're not going to get done. Like, and even, you know, having it planned out, there are a few things that I scratched off my list along the way because there just wasn't time for it and they, you know, weren't as high a priority. But I really like doing this stuff. Like, I had a great time cutting out all those silly felt letters for the banners. And I like to make things, and mm-hmm. I think that it's nice to have a creative outlet every once in a while to do something like this. Because I'm not making stuff all the time, so it feels good to go through kind of these little creative spurts. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I was a little burnt out. You know, we were originally planning on doing a big joint 30th birthday for me and Sean over the summer. We're going to do it next 30 years theme. I don't know if you know the Tim McGraw song, everybody.
Love it. Yeah.
But you know what? We just kind of canceled it after we did the big birthday party because we're like, okay, that was a lot of party. That was a lot of planning.
So you can wait another year.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have our next 31 years party next year.
Well, you're also really good with budgets. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was curious to know, you know, if you had a budget that you started out with, then how you stuck with that, if you did.
I didn't have an actual budget. I just kind of my motto for almost everything is to do it as the least expensive way that I can. And I think that, you know, making the cupcakes instead of spending $3.50 a cupcake or whatever from, you know, Sibby's or Carish or whatnot, you know, that was good. I mean, I did spend some money on supplies for baking cupcakes because I didn't have everything I needed. But that's stuff that I'm going to be using over, you know, the next 20 years of birthday parties. So, I just, you know, and I made pretty much everything. We did, you know, low budget food. We did hot dogs and, you know, garlic fries. And my father-in-law owns a cafe, so he brought in a bunch of salads and stuff. So everybody kind of chipped in and did their own thing. And, you know, I think beverages and postage were probably some of our biggest expenses. So, you know, I think it's possible to do a party for, you know, a pretty big group on a budget.
There are those whole magazine features that you read in, like, Parenting Magazine, where it's like, you know, first birthday under $50. And
yeah, we definitely spend more than $50. But.
Yeah. I mean, I praise the people for trying to do that, but I've already spent $30 on invitations because I've got my first birthday party coming up. So, but there are ways to do it. And I don't want us to, you know, endorse blowing your wad on something that the baker won't really.
You love that.
I know. Yeah, seriously,
can we put that every podcast? What is,
I mean, wad of cash, you guys.
Yeah, no, Natalie, I agree. My mom used to throw us. I mean, we used to have amazing, amazing little birthday parties in the backyard or at a park, and the family would all bring. It'd be potluck style, and you know, aunts and uncles would bring. You know, I had 3 cakes 1 year just because I have so many aunts. Everybody wanted to bring a cake, you know, and then a piñata and some, it was just food and family. I mean, that's all you really need. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it was, I can guarantee or assure you, very low budget.
Yeah. I think the best way to cut cost and what you can is really just planning in advance. Cause I know for me, the most expensive holidays or Christmases or things like that have resulted from me waiting to the last minute and then having to just buy whatever's on hand or pay extra for shipping and all that stuff. So.
But now I feel bad because they have these, like, we're doing a Mickey Mouse theme because that's the stuffed animal he likes the most. Aww. And, so, like, I'm looking at this banner that you can get his photo on, and it can say, like, it's Miles' first birthday. It's $50 for this thing alone. And I'm like, really? Do I want it? I kind of do. I don't know. And then they have this pre-packaged, like, ultimate party pack, which is $150, and it comes with all the plates and the, you know, glass cups and the little pointy hats and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, am I lame for doing this? Because Natalie would never do something like that because it's so pre-packaged. It's like party in a box. I don't know.
I think there are options for everyone, and obviously, and I think that sounds great, you know? I personally am not very creative, so I usually end up buying the cutesy stuff and kind of putting it together myself.
Yeah, well, I just want my family to have a nice time, and I sent out a little save the date invitation last night, and I was trying to be snarky, but I'm not sure if I really succeeded, but to just my local family, I said, you know, please make sure you know, toys, presents are not required, but please don't bring any, you know, guns or swords, because I don't really want those kind of toys around, and you never know.
That's hard. That.
And I said, and also refrain from paraphernalia from the following sports teams, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, that's Raiders.
It's great.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah, you should also add, like, well, now you have plenty of room, but, you know, for some small spaces, like, you know, size, don't go over this size for a toy. Yeah.
Toys must be under 6 inches square.
Right.
You know, and I was on Twitter yesterday, and I actually saw that there was some action going on the hashtag first birthday, which, you know, might be kind of fun to follow for people planning it.
Oh, that's cute. I noticed that you used that in when you retweeted the story. I didn't know that was a popular hashtag. That's a good one.
Hmm. Very interesting indeed. Well, let's talk more about medical issues, because Jennifer, you were talking about baby Tylenol, or baby, how do you say that? Acetaminophen?
I can't ever pronounce it.
Yeah. Which essentially is baby Tylenol, right? Or it's the active ingredient in Tylenol. Now, you said that there was some recall or something like that. Tell me about going to the drugstore and finding this out.
Yes. So I'm just going to refer to it as baby Tylenol because, like you, I can't pronounce it, and it could take up 20 minutes. So I went to the drugstore 2 weeks ago, else teething again, and I knew I needed to pick something up, and I couldn't find anything. It was weird. And it also looked like the shelf was bare. So I was thinking, well, maybe they are just moving some things around. So I was rushed for time and left. And then I went back to the drugstore closest to me a couple days ago, and same situation. There were some there, but there weren't as many as, you know, there usually are. So I got to the checkout. I just grabbed one. It was, I guess I won't mention the brand because the doctor ended up not recommending it. But I got up to there at the checkout, and I asked about it, and the clerk's like, obviously you could tell this guy did not have kids. He's like, oh yeah, there was something in it really hurting the kids, so they recalled it or took it off the shelves. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding?
You'd think we would know about this. That's all we do is read parenting stuff.
Exactly. And that's a whole other story about how do we stay connected as moms when we're taking care of little ones and trying to get our jobs done on the side, and how do we stay up on this news? Well, by reading blogs like ours, but, you know. So with this situation, I ran home, got online, and looked it up, and it appears they're just moving things out and moving things in. There wasn't necessarily something within the baby Tylenol, we'll call it, that was hurting the kids. It's just the dosage is very confusing. I know you girls have looked at the boxes, and it always says, like, under 2, call a physician, usually. I think on the Motrin or the Advil, it has a dosage that they recommend by weight, which I think is great, because no matter what the age is right now for the baby, they vary so much. Because, I mean, Elle already weighs over 20 pounds, you know.
Holy crap, she weighs as much as Dominic does.
I know Miles doesn't weigh that either.
Okay, well, she weighs 20 pounds. I don't know.
She's a big girl.
She is. No wonder I'm losing some weight carrying her around.
But that's great.
Yeah. So I don't know the dosage for her. And then that got me thinking more about, well, have I been giving her the wrong dosage? So so basically, I guess this news came out in May. Hello. I was thinking I was a very bad mom for not being up on it. But basically what they're doing is they're making all of the baby Tylenol one concentration. Before there were two, one for infant and one for, you know, bigger kids. But it didn't necessarily make sense because children grow and you have more than one child, and it gets confusing. So now they're just putting in, I think, like a cup for like the older kids and like a syringe for the babies and one concentration with a recommended dosage for different groups. So that's why they're moving it in and out. That's why your shelves may be bare. And the replacement's happening right now. So hopefully within the next month or so, the shelves will be back to the full capacity. And I think on the front of the boxes, you'll see like a new sort of calling out. Like it'll say new on the package to tell you that they have changed the concentration and there's new dosage on it. And so that's what's going on with that.
This is really disconcerting. I feel like there have been a lot of issues lately, at least, well, in the past year. Is it just me?
Well, I think we're more aware of it now as we have children. True. We're more focused on when the recalls are, what they're about, what's going on. Because before I was like, okay, I'll send it to my sister. But I'm more concerned about, you know, if there actually was something in it actually hurting. And it breaks my heart to think that some babies are getting overdoses. I mean, imagine that from a parent standpoint.
Yeah.
It's just so hard. But
even the infant stuff now, it says for 2 and up. And so when I've needed it before, it's really confusing. And I always, if I can't find the one that I want, or if there's none that have an indication for me, then I always call over a pharmacist. And usually if you're during working hours and there's a pharmacist on call and it's confusing, just pull over a pharmacist because they're there to help you. They're not there just for prescription drugs.
Exactly. That's what the nurse did. I called the line because I was thinking, I don't know how much to give her now. And I called our nurse line just about this. I felt like a very much, what'd you say before, Natalie Morris, about first mother paranoia or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like, let's check ourselves.
Yeah. And then she had recommended, she was erring on the safe side of the dosage. But then, Natalie Gafori, you mentioned a website Dr. Sears has. I'm not sure if she's here, but basically
there
two
are
of the
Dr. Sears, though.
Yeah. So
there's one that has to do with, we'll have to look this up later.
AskDrSears.com. And this was recommended by Natalie Gafori, who's one of our mommy bloggers, and then also another commenter. And so I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm planning a follow-up post from a few pediatricians and family physicians on what they recommend, Motrin versus the baby Tylenol. There was kind of a back and forth, even in our comments section. And Natalie Morris, I'd never heard this, but last time you had said that you don't give the Motrin to Miles because it's harder on their tummy.
Yeah. And my doctor told me that, and the advice nurse told me that, that the Motrin is too harsh on their stomach. So you don't want to, you know, if you give it to them, they can't handle it again for a while. It's just hard. So both of them actually said, stick to the Tylenol.
That's really interesting because the nurse I spoke with said, we don't necessarily recommend the Motrin either for babies under two. So it does make me question whether we should use it or not, but I'd be interested to hear what others think. She didn't, and she said that's probably something I would discuss further with your physician. So we have her 9-month checkup coming up soon, and so I'm going to talk to her about that as well.
Yeah, and then on the flip side, you know, this is Natalie, that we've used Motrin since Dom had a surgery back when he was about 7 months old. So I think that there's definitely, it's kind of an open question. According to that Dr. Sears site, it said that if your baby has stomach problems, like if your baby has stomach ulcers or something along those lines, then not to use it. But if they have, you know, a strong, healthy stomach, then it's not a problem. So definitely something to talk to your doctor about.
Mm-hmm. You know, and something else just to point out too is because I believe that the dosage before on the baby Tylenol had said that you could use it up to 6 times in 24 hours, and now that's gone down to 5 with these new regulations. Not that I think any of us want to give us our children, you know, 5 doses of Tylenol in 24 hours, but just a heads up on that.
No, but when Miles had that bad flu a couple of weeks ago and the fever just would not go down, I was literally on every 4 hours because at the end of the 4-hour span, it would spike right back up again, and I just wanted to keep it in check. So, you know, you're not supposed to do that for more than 48 hours and then you take them in. But if you're in that, like, peak fever time, you know, this is not mild teething. This was a big fever.
Exactly, yeah.
Then it's a different case. So I want to put a quick disclaimer here. None of us are physicians. We're trying to figure out what it all means and do the best for our babies.
Definitely. And then check out that post. And ABC News has done some articles about it as well. So all you have to do is Google recall, and you can find some information about that.
Well, we're going to start to wrap up a little bit, but I want to talk about the things that we're giving away. Remember, we give away great prizes for no reason at all on Mommy Beta every week. We've always got a contest expiring, a contest starting. So this week, the expiring contest is for a drop cam. And if you haven't read what Alex and I have both written about this thing's fantastic. I can't live without it. You must enter this contest and read up on drop cam. We're also giving away a Bitsy sleep sack, which all of us have tested, great for the winter time especially. And Jennifer, why don't you tell us about what you're giving away starting tomorrow?
Sure. So tomorrow we have a fun giveaway. It's a product that Beth has loved, and we just recently retired because we got our high chair, but it's called the Prince Lionheart Baby Pod Flex Plus. And it's one of the, it looks, we're probably very familiar with the Bumbo, but this one has an awesome little feeding tray and a little toy that goes on top of it. And we can discuss it more next week, but it's a great little thing to have in your, for early feedings and things like that. So stay tuned and check it out.
Indeed, do check it out. And then we also want to wrap up with little victories. These are the things that we have, little tiny victories in our life that we want to share, and we will all applaud. Alex, what's yours this week?
This week, Reese, well, she's done it a few times now. She can stand on her own just for a few seconds, like 3 to 5 seconds at a time. So she's standing on her own. And then when we go to the park, she can climb the stairs. That's fairly new. And she's not very good at it, but she can do it.
Stairs are hard. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and now you have to make sure they just don't go doing it on their own.
But right.
Yay, Reese. She's getting so strong.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
She certainly is.
She's a sassy little thing.
Well, we have a few things to address, a little bit of viewer feedback that I wanted to just quickly address. First of all, we got a tweet about the Francis England music that we use at the beginning and the end of our show, and someone had asked, what are my favorite albums of Francis England? Mine is Family Tree. Do you guys have another one? Anyone? You guys know her album? I'm probably the only one who really knows her albums that this well.
I'm more familiar with just individual songs. Whenever you had sent over a few for us to look at, I fell in love with every one of them. And I know we always say it's children's music, but I consider it to be adults' music just as much as children's. But I really like Red Balloon, and I really like the song that we have right now as our intro. Is it Me and You?
You and Me, yep.
You and Me. I love that one. I think it's so sweet.
Yeah. And then also one other viewer had asked that we put more detailed show notes, and that was my bad. I try and make sure that everything, every product we talk about is linked to, and I just didn't do that last week. So no excuses, bad on me. I'll go sit in the corner for the rest of the afternoon. But that wraps up our podcast. Thank you, ladies, for joining us, and thank you, nice listener, for listening. We hope that we'll see you again next week. Have a great afternoon, or day, or morning.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. You grow so big overnight. How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you.